grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. From the Gospel for this second Sunday in Advent, St. Luke chapter 21, verses 26 and 27. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I wonder how many times you've found yourself wondering, where will it all end? A question we asked when faced with crisis in our own life or in the lives of our loved ones, crisis in the nation, crisis in the world, crisis in the church. That's when we find ourselves wondering, where will it all end? Just a few days after those terrible events that we refer to as 9/11, I received a lovely card in the mail from an older and much wiser friend, who at that time wrote to all her friends, encouraging us to remain strong in the faith because, as she said, no matter what might happen in the meantime, we already know how the story ends. And how does the story end? It ends as we just confessed in the Creed. The Lord Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Where will it all end? In the coming again in glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to judge the living and the dead, and to usher in that kingdom of love and light which in his love he prepared for us before the foundation of the world. That's where it will all end. And so our question doesn't go unanswered, but is answered gloriously by Jesus himself, as he says in today's gospel. The powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now, to many people, both inside and outside, and sadly also inside the church, our Christian belief in our Lord's coming again to judge the living and the dead seems to be something that's utterly irrelevant to daily living. Yes, for many in this age of unfaith, this in fact seems to deal with what are to most people utterly remote and indeed unknowable possibilities. But if we take seriously the words of Jesus, then the reality of his coming again becomes a call to daily repentance. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." What that means in simple terms is that the Lord Jesus calls us to live each day of our lives as if it were our last day. And of course, any day may well be our last, because it could be the day of Christ's coming again to be our judge, or because it could be that day which brings the hour of our death. And for each one of us as individuals, the hour of death is the hour of judgment, unless we should be among those still living here on earth when the Judge of all appears in glory and all the holy angels with him. So ask yourself, how would I wish to live if this day were in fact the last day of my life, the last day of the world? How would I wish to live? On the one hand, this prospect of Christ coming again to be our judge is a sobering, perhaps even terrifying thought. Only utterly deluded people, spiritually dead people, could imagine that they're all ready to face that judge unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, even those secrets we try to hide from ourselves, and we do that. Surely if we know ourselves at all, our many sins, not only of word and deed, but also of thought, when we consider the weakness of our faith, the often coldness of our love, we can then only make our own those words from one of the church's hymns. What shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding when the just are mercy needing? What shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding when the just are mercy needing? But the question in this hymn doesn't go unanswered, because the hymn immediately goes on to say this: King of majesty tremendous, who dost free salvation send us, fount of pity, then befriend us. King of majesty tremendous, who dost free salvation send us, fount of pity, then befriend us. And Jesus will, because he is not only our judge, he is also the tender friend of sinners who died for us and shed his precious blood for each and every one. And so we don't have to face the hour of judgment alone, naked in our own unworthiness. We face the hour of judgment as those who in the saving waters of baptism have put on Christ, like a garment covering all our sin, so that the Heavenly Father sees us not as we are in our unworthiness, but rather as those who through faith are clothed in Christ, made pure from all sin through baptism into his saving death. There is that wonderful hymn verse which expresses this truth: Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. The Lord who will come to be our judge has already come to be our Savior. And because he is our Savior, the prospect of his coming again is finally cause for joy. For then faith will give way to sight, and we shall in fact see the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us into bitter death, who rose triumphant from the dead and ascended into heaven, his glorious body still bearing the marks of the nails and the spear, those tokens of his perfect love. Just as we sang a moment or two ago in Charles Wesley's wonderful hymn, those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture, gaze we on those glorious scars. So where will it all end? In the coming again in glory of him who is both our Savior and our Judge. So how would you live? How would I live if you and I knew that the Lord was coming again this very day, this very night? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.